You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by Dr. Dale Meyer. We hope you enjoy his message titled, Jesus Lives, Jesus Looks. And now here's Dr. Meyer.
Last May, I visited Venezuela. I met some wonderful people there. I also bumped into some people who are not so wonderful, like the one who stole my passport, or the truck driver who disregarded the traffic laws and almost killed me. But I did meet many warm and wonderful people. The best way that I can summarize my visit is with the words of St. Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus saw the crowds of people, he felt sorry for them, because they were troubled and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looks at Jose and has the same compassion that he had back in Bible times. Jose hangs around Iglesia Luterana Santa Trinidad in Caracas. Hangs around, I say, not to hear about Jesus, but hoping for a handout or for an opportunity to steal something that he can sell for drugs. The day I visited this church, missionary Richard Schlock was talking to Jose, pleading with him to leave his drugs and come to Jesus. When Jose got up to leave, the pastor said, "Wait a minute." He frisked Jose and found that Jose had tucked away a Bible that he was going to sell for drugs. That's a sad way to live, trading God's word of life for the drugs of death. Jesus looks at Jose. He looks at the people of Venezuela, and he looks at all of you who are trying to live life without him. Jesus looks, and Jesus has compassion. Jesus looks with compassion upon the people of Barquisimeto. Barquisimeto is a town of about 700,000. Missionary Clint Saligny took me to a non-Lutheran church in the center of Barquisimeto. This church had three altars, a main altar and two side altars. On one side altar, there's a great statue of a woman called the Divina Pastore. That's Spanish. It means the Divine Shepherdess. She's the patron saint of Barquisimeto, adored in a way that is idolatrous. The people crowded around her statue and altar. Some laid flowers at her altar. Others made the sign of the cross before her. One man held up a baby basket, offering his newborn child to the Divina Pastore. Next to this altar was a box for promesas, for promises. Promises her worshipers would make if only she would grant their special request. The whole sight astounded me. I had never seen such flagrant idolatry. Jesus is the only shepherd in my life, but here I saw people worshiping another. There was no one at the other side altar. The missionary took me over there, and what did we find? A glass display case. Really, a glass coffin. And what was in it? A statue of the dead Jesus. The Jesus depicted by this reclining statue looked dead. For a moment, I thought it was a real corpse. I looked at the missionary and I said, "This is terrible." He explained to me that the people of Venezuela know Jesus as a suffering and a dead Jesus. "Look around the church building," he said. "You'll see Jesus depicted as suffering or dead. You won't see Jesus represented as being alive." "But what about Easter?" I asked. "They don't celebrate it," he said. "Good Friday is the big day." And do you know what they do on Good Friday? The day the true Christians remember that Jesus, our Good Shepherd, laid down his life for us sinners? Do you know what they do on Good Friday? They carry the statue of the Divina Pastore through the streets of town and adore her. Well, Jesus looks at all of this. He looks because he's not dead. He's alive. And do you know why he's alive? Because God the Father was so pleased with what his son Jesus had done that he raised Jesus from the dead. Yes, Jesus died the way the statue in Barquisimeto pictures him. He suffered and died on the cross because he has compassion for us sinners. Jose and others who live only for their next fix aren't the only ones who need compassion. The people of Barquisimeto may practice an open idolatry, but is that any worse than when you and I give our affection to something other than the triune God? Which is worse, to make a deal with an idol, I'll do such and such for you if you'll do such and such for me, or the way that so many of us try to deal with a true God? I believe that you exist. I try to do good. What more could you possibly want from me? In the penetrating eyes of God, eyes that look right into your heart and mind, you are a sinner too. He looks at you, and he sees you numbered with all the Hoseas and idol worshippers of the world. When Jesus looks at the crowds, he has compassion. So it is that he came into our world, sent by the Heavenly Father. Jesus paid the complete price for your sins when he suffered on Calvary. The Father in heaven was so pleased with that perfect sacrifice that he raised his son, Jesus, from the dead. Jesus was restored to life on Easter Sunday morning, and he was restored to live forever. Good Friday wasn't the end of Jesus' mission in our world. Easter is what Jesus is all about. Jesus lives, and Jesus looks on those sinners who do not yet know him as their good shepherd. Our Lutheran Hour ministries are helping the church bring Jesus' compassion to people in Venezuela. Let me tell you another story. When we arrived in Venezuela, we went to our office in Caracas. Dr. Jaime Paredes is the director of that office. He welcomed us, and he showed us a letter that he had just received from a woman in Maracaibo. The letter was written in response to our programs. The writer said, "I'd like to tell you something that worries me very much and ask for some counseling. My mother is 73 years old, and 9 months ago she was at the edge of death. First she got meningitis, and when the disease was at its most serious point, she got pneumonia, and the doctors gave her up for dead. But I never felt afraid or upset. She was hospitalized for almost a month, and it was then that I asked God that he would give her back her health. And I promised then to find a knowledgeable person who could talk to her about the love and the forgiveness of God. 3 days later, my mother began to get better. And it was then that the doctor said she might possibly never recover her mental faculties. Once again, I prayed to God. And I told him, 'Lord, if she stays crazy, how is she going to understand when someone speaks to her about you?' Her brain and mental condition slowly got better. Until today, she is completely lucid. She knows nothing about God. And now I don't know what to do to fulfill the promise that I made to God. It's clear that God has to provide this person to me. Who can I go to teach my mother? I don't want her to pass into eternity ignorant of the love of God. I will say goodbye now and wait, hoping that you can help me.'" Jesus has compassion on people like that. And Jesus wants you and me to deliver his compassion to people. Jaime, our office director, said, "Let's go." So 2 days later, Jaime, Ken Peterson, who is from our St. Louis office, and I went to the Caracas airport and flew to Maracaibo, a city of over 1 million people. It's about an hour's flight west of Caracas. We found a taxi driver who agreed to help us find this woman's home. The search for her home took several hours, not only because we weren't sure where she lived, but also because this taxi was a sad excuse for a car. The taxi driver eventually pulled his old jalopy up to the front of a 20 by 30 tile block building. The woman who had written was in the front yard, tending her flowers. I wondered, What did she think when she saw the three of us get out of the taxi and approach her? Later, she said that when she saw us coming, she thought that she had won the lottery. Jaime said, "No, we're here with something infinitely better. We're from Cristo para Todas las Naciones," which is the name of our Lutheran Hour ministry office in Venezuela. When she heard that, she got a big smile, and she invited us to sit down in her front yard. Eventually, her entire family joined her, her 73-year-old mother included. They sat and listened as Jaime told them about Jesus. It was a delight for me to sit silently and watch how he went to work to take the compassion of Jesus and put it into the heart of this woman and her family. He spoke to her for about 15 minutes about John 14, verse 6. There Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Most emphatically did Jaime stress that it's not human teachings that are the way, the truth, and the life for us sinners. It's Jesus. Jesus alone. I wish you could see, as I did, how receptive this family was to the story of the Savior. Then we socialized for a while. One of the daughters brought out some Pepsi-Cola for us to drink. We visited for a while, and then Jaime went back to the gospel. He took about 10 minutes to review the good news about Jesus. Then he asked a question. "I'll come back to Maracaibo and talk to you more about Jesus and salvation," Jaime said, "if you'll get a group of 20 people together for Bible study. Will you do that?" The woman said yes. Her husband said yes. And Jaime promised, "I'll be back." Well, that was last May. Jaime's been back. And these people in Maracaibo are studying the Bible. And they're learning about Jesus, their good shepherd, who lives and looks at us all with compassion. How do you react to these stories? I hope that the stories touch you with compassion. Jesus lives and Jesus looks at you. He looks upon you, a sinner, with compassion. God's Holy Spirit is hard at work, striving through the good news of your salvation to bring you to know and love and trust in Jesus Christ so that you receive through faith the full and the free forgiveness for all your sins and the abundant life and the certain salvation that only God can give. When the triune God brings you to that highest spiritual good without any merits of your own, then the triune God wants you to tell others the same good news. Please don't listen to these mission stories like the man in the parable who said, "I thank thee, God, that I am not like other people are." Don't listen to these mission stories like the religious people in another of Jesus' parables. You remember those people. They thought they were so religious, doing all their good works, but they had not been touched by compassion. They passed by a robbed and a wounded man. Don't you be like that. Put your faith in Jesus. He alone is the way. He alone the truth. He alone the life. He alone gives you the highest good. Not drugs, not alcohol, not lottery money. Nothing but Jesus. Touched by the Savior who lives and looks at you with compassion, please help share the story of this good shepherd with others. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.